This episode is brought to you by North Texas Honda Dealers. North Texas Honda Dealers, they're here to help.
He has time, launches it to the end zone. Touchdown, Terrence Williams!
The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught. He's the one! The Red Raider!
Was he up the 10? Was he up the right sideline?
Yeah, he's got to go. He's tackled. Sam Houston wins it. The Bearcats capture their first FCS champion.
Hello and welcome to the Republic of Football. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson, here March 20th. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, here with the full gang again, another round table. Mike Craven, how you doing, bud?
Doing good.
Carter Yates, of course, in Frisco. How you doing?
Well, in Frisco now, but back from beautiful Port Neches, Texas. I was there for the past 2 days in the Bay Town.
Yeah, the journeyman all the way in East Texas.
Uh-huh.
How you doing, Mallory?
Doing well. Happy to be here, as always.
Yeah, of course. All right, so this one's going to be kind of a lighter episode. Nothing major happening this week. Spring camp started, and so we're going to kind of have a little mini discussion about what, as fans, what people can kind of expect to see from spring, and then like what they should probably take from spring, because you'll see a lot of things come out of spring, some substantive, some... slash a lot, not really. So we're kind of have a small discussion about that, as well as the continuing debate about the college football playoff expansion. You know, we're not even at the 12. We haven't even had a season of 12 yet, and people are already trying to angle for 14. The Big Ten and the SEC are already angling for more guarantees. So we'll get to that. But of course, we're going to start off with some plugs for texasfootball.com. I finished up the last roster autopsy on Texas State. Go check that one out. Craven is breaking down the Texas 10 as well. Running backs and interior defensive line just went up this week. Go check out those as well. Give those a read. Give us your thoughts as well. I posted them on all social medias with some of the top fives in graphics. It's generating some buzz. So definitely go give those a read and weigh in on the discussion. And of course, Corey is actually all over the state right now, all over West Texas, covering the D2 tournament going on right now, men's and women's. Texas women's making the Elite Eight, Texas Women's University making the Elite Eight over there, as well as West Texas University. So I will be down in Austin covering the Austin regional, or at least the Austin first and second rounds of the women's tournament this weekend. So definitely go give those a read as well. And yeah, spring keeps going. We'll be covering some news and notes as that happens, as they kind of unfold. Right now, the only big news, at least this week, was the one out of TCU. Unfortunately, Josh Hoover will miss spring camp. What's the four-star Telegrams B router that broke it? Forgetting his name.
Steven Johnson.
There you go. He broke the news, of course. And then TCU confirmed it on their end. He will miss spring. He will reportedly be back for summer. You know, it is an injury that they are very confident that he'll return fully healthy. But
do we know what the injury is?
I don't think they've disclosed that. And I don't think they really will. And, you know, usually coaches, and it's different in college. Obviously, they don't have to disclose injuries. Most teams don't disclose injuries publicly unless they're season ending. But some programs do, or some things leak out, you know, for larger programs like Texas, things like that. I don't think they're going to disclose it. But regardless, I think it's going to be what we were hoping to see from him, and we can kind of weigh into this later as well. He's somebody who would have been benefiting major from spring, right? He's the de facto starting quarterback, but still a redshirt freshman who could have just used reps. And the fact that he's going to be missing camp is obviously a hinder to him, but also to TCU, who is hoping to have him a fully healthy and pretty decently, I'd say, like depth-wise, pretty deep quarterback room with him, Ken Seals, and Haas Haney. Like, that's a respectable quarterback room you would have hoped to have, but now you're down your starter.
Yeah, I think it helps that he started a decent amount last year. I mean, he basically started the back end of the schedule the last six games. Most of the wide receivers he'll be counting on are guys he played with, Savion Williams, Daylon Wright, J.P. Richardson. Those guys are all back and the main target. So to me, spring practice is mostly scheme stuff, getting on the same page, building reps, building continuity, consistency. He's got the same offensive coordinator. He's got the same weapons. He's played some. So like you said, I mean, you want to be there for spring. It's not good to miss spring unless you're a guy who's played 60 games and started 50 of them or something like that. Since he's not new to the program, I think it'll be okay. It'd be different if he was a transfer coming in that was expected to take the starting spot.
Well, when they brought in Ken Seals as the transfer, we all kind of believe this is just Josh Hoover's job now. Do we think there's more of a competition going into fall camp if Josh Hoover can't go in the spring, or does this have no effect?
I would say no effect, but TCU is a team that's finished with a different starting quarterback than they started with the first two seasons. Sonny Dykes has been there. So, you know, I think until they pick a guy, find a guy and stick with that guy for a full year, it's got to be an open competition because Hoover played well at times, but he's not a guy that you just like lock the job for and throw away the key. Right. So if Seals plays really well over the spring and grasps this offense and has, you know, a rapport with these receivers, then, you know, I think you'd be crazy as a coach not to allow that door to be open.
But Josh Hoover is so damn fun. He's just fun.
He is. He showed a lot last year in terms of somebody worth betting on. And I think the Ken Seals, I think we mentioned this in the last episode, the Ken Seals transfer was similar to Sawyer Robertson as like, here's a reliable arm, but not somebody who you would bank on. But the difference I will say is that he has started games in college, right? He is an experienced quarterback who has started games in the SEC, granted for a Vanderbilt team that wasn't very good, but regardless, he was a high level three star coming out of Weatherford, right? So it's not like it's somebody who you're just banking on like the unknown, right? You do have a veteran presence of sorts. So like to Craven's point, I think this is something that we haven't really seen from TCU in terms of like going into the offseason with a little bit of a asterisk next to the word mystery, but a little bit of a mystery. The presumed starter has kind of been known the past couple of years, and they've gone into the offseason with that starter healthy, right? And so now, like, what happens when you go into week one where your starter is coming off of where he didn't have a spring? You know, I think he will start week one, but they have the comfort of knowing that Chandler Morris is going into the offseason, you know, even the past two offseasons as healthy and then as the supposed guy. You know, I don't know. That's something that they haven't gone, you know, they haven't had a guy where it's like, oh, we'll get our guy back in a couple of months. They haven't been in that position. They've been preparing their guy for the past couple of years, and they kind of thought that would be the same this year.
And I want to say, you know, only three of the 13 FBS schools in the state started the same quarterback every single game in 2023. It was only two of the 12 in 2022. So you're going to play your backup quarterback. You're going to start him for a few games. That's just how this sport goes. And so having a quality backup that can go win football games is big, and Seals is going to get more reps than he probably would have otherwise. And so I don't know if the competition is there inside the building, but they're actually absolutely going to fan those flames and keep it an open competition to the public, right? Because you don't want guys, they're not good enough to just give somebody a starting job, right? Like they haven't done enough. Like he hasn't done enough just to be like, oh yeah, this is your job and you go and roll with it. So it'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Yep. All right. Enough about Seals. Hoss Haney. Spring of Hoss.
Look, Hoss Haney.
Good for him, too. He gets a lot of
I was
of
about
reps.
To say, I like Hoss Haney a lot. Okay. He's somebody who we all made 4-4? Fun of the fact that I made fun of the fact that Alito had him because like Alito didn't need him and like they just made them more unbeatable. So like I'm very excited that he's going to get a chance to probably rep with the twos, right? That's something he definitely did not probably go into spring expecting. And so if that kickstarts his development a little bit, right? A four-star recruit, like who, again, no promises. I don't think he went into this year expecting to get playing time this year. I would still bet against him getting playing time this year, but these reps, again, this is who spring is for, right? It's for the freshmen to come in and get accommodated to where by November, let's say if TCU season's gone or if Hoover's not the guy or they need something, like it's not far-fetched to say like, you know what, let's see what this guy has, right? It's not, you're not throwing him to the wolves completely because he has some reps in him. Again, I think it's more 2025 and beyond that we'll see him, but he's going to be getting some high level reps in these next couple weeks. So he's going to be a beneficiary of it.
He's not ready for sure because he just plays on a juggernaut in Alito that steamrolls everybody.
Oh, yeah.
When we watched him at the state championship and he took off, I was shocked by how fast he is. Like, I think he runs a laser time 4.4 in camps.
He's a very good athlete. And I can see why TC was excited to get him and keep him kind of in the forward area. All right. So before we get on to the official discussion topics for today, I just want to plug Homefield real quick. They're doing their March drops, a lot of their really cool warm-up gear, a lot of basketball-centric stuff. But I know I sent Mallory, or I think she might have sent me, the Michigan State-Indiana State combo they did with the warm-up jackets. Which
yeah, those rocked.
Those are pretty sick. I'd love that they dropped those at the same time, the Indiana State-Michigan State ones, kind of reminiscing on the Larry versus Magic
1979
final.
yeah
so of course they're dropping more schools like that. They've dropped a bunch of Arizona stuff. Of course they're continuing to drop Michigan. They actually have jerseys out now, so if you want to get in on that, remember 15% off your first time purchase, or use the code the direct link, which is at our Twitter on DCTFCFB, excuse me, on Twitter. Follow that link, and even if you're not a first time buyer, that link will help us if you want to support us as well. But if you do want to use a promo code 15% off your first time purchase, promo code DCTF to get 15% off for Homefield Apparel, go support the guys out there or any of the other podcasts on the Republic of Football Network. All right. So speaking of spring, all right. So we've had a bunch of teams, particularly Texas, in this state, start spring camp. And of course, the spring game is a big deal. It's kind of like an unofficial kickoff to like hyping up football season for everybody. All right, Craven, me and you have been beat writers before, covering various spring camps. And, you know, you've been on the recruiting beat, so you've gone to spring camps for different reasons, like as far as that's concerned. For you, what do you use spring for? Because it's easy to say as a beat writer, well, you got to have some content, which is fair. Yes, we all got to have some content. So that's why you'll see a bunch of people just like taking photos and doing, here's the spring camp report from March 23rd. Okay, cool. But what do you, as a fan, but also somebody who needs to compartmentalize what happens in spring, how do you view spring camp?
Well, different than I used to. You know, the transfer portal and NIL, I guess not NIL so much in this instance, has really impacted. I think Dana Holgorsen kind of changed my outlook on spring by explaining something to me.
Mm-hmm.
You normally lose the 20 to 25 guys that are seniors on your team, right? The free COVID year has kind of messed that up. But you in theory, you lose those 20-25 guys, but you replace those, you know, with a lot of early signees and stuff like that. So you would be close to 65-70 players during spring. Well, that's no longer true. You now lose the 20 guys you normally lose. You lose 15 to 20 more transfers. You got 10 to 15 guys out from injury that can't go full bore. So now you're doing spring practice with 45 scholarship players. Well, that's why you see a Sarkisian not have a spring game the first year he gets there, because he only has 7 offensive linemen. It's why Houston didn't have a spring game last year, because they didn't have a ton of offensive linemen. And so I think it's moved more towards like NFL OTAs, where it's a lot of install for the new guys, because you have so many enrollees either straight from high school that are there early, or transfer portal guys that have never run your scheme before. So it's a lot of install. It's a lot of technique. It's a lot of going back to basics. And so I use it as kind of a vibe check, if we're talking about me as my job, right?
Yeah.
You go into those buildings and you can kind of figure out, you know, where they feel good and where they feel bad. What positions they kind of think that they have depth in, what positions they feel to be thin in, what guys that didn't play a lot the year before are making some noise that maybe redshirted or were behind some upperclassmen that now are being counted on. Who are those dudes? And so in today's day and age, for me, it's just to figure out who the hell's on a team, right? Like just who's on a team, who's getting counted on, who the coaches think are going to play, because you see the list of 20 transfers coming in and 15 early enrollees, and then you guess on who's going to play right away. But the coaches can tell you who walked into the building ready to play and who's going to take a little bit of time to develop. And so I guess that's what I look for, is kind of the vibes around the program. How's everybody feeling? What are the beat writers at that place think? Like, what's going on behind the scenes there? And then also, just who are the 40 guys on the roster that are the coaches are at least thinking are going to be counted on in whatever that next football season is?
And then you do it all again when the spring transfer portal window hits.
Yeah.
Well, that, right. I mean, that kick starts it, right? Where you like, you look at somebody and you see them, oh, they're getting second reps as opposed to first. And you're like, that's going to be something to mentally note, you know?
Well, I got a perfect example for you.
Yeah.
So now that he's gone, I can probably tell the story. So I go to Houston to go do the Dana Holgorsen spring magazine stop. Mm-hmm. I think this was 2 years ago. And we do it in his main office kind of meeting room thing. And he's got the depth chart up on the on the whiteboard. And mm-hmm. and we're going through each position, tell me about the quarterbacks, who's offensive line, all this kind of stuff. And he walks over to the right tackle position, puts his hand over and goes, don't worry about that spot. We're filling that in April. Right. And so like those guys know, and you can kind of get an idea of like, oh, they're really thin on along the offensive line. Like they're going to have to go get five or six dudes in a month or so. So you get an idea of like where they need to import, where they need to export as well during this time.
Yeah. And I think the one thing, cause the other, obviously the bookend to spring will be the spring game for a lot of these teams. And even then, like the spring, like this time last year, Malik Hornsby was the starting quarterback at Texas State, you know? And then even when TJ Finley committed to them, everybody was like, okay, yeah, but he's okay, right? Like, but it's probably Malik Hornsby. He looked great in the spring game. If you would ask, all the hype around Texas last year was Malik Murphy. Oh my God, is Malik Murphy going to push Quinn Ewers? You know, it's like.
Wasn't Chandler Morris the starter at TCU at this time last year?
Right. Yeah, Chandler Morris was like very much like, oh my God, this guy looks great. Like, of course, like he looks great. The TCU is about to, you know, just continue where they were going, you know, despite missing Quinn Johnson, all these guys like
Earl Stone.
Yeah. Like all these guys look fantastic. And it's to me, I always view it as like an extension of signing day, right? Everybody wins signing day, right? Everybody, oh man, we love our class. Oh man, this is awesome, right? You really don't start having quote unquote bad practices until August, in my opinion.
September, exactly. Not until you lose a football game do your start.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's when coaches will start to be like, yeah, no, we weren't good today. Like, no, that was bad, right? In spring, everybody's like, oh, it's great to be back out here. Oh, yeah, the freshmen
are best. We had the best weight and conditioning program in our history.
Everybody came back in shape. Oh, my, the line.
There's so many spin zones. Yeah, exactly. So many you can do.
100%. We got a true two deep at every single position.
The quarterbacks threw seven interceptions. The defense is super good this year.
If you read Texas Twitter, they have a seven deep right now, right? Everybody can play in the SEC right now on that.
Their walk-on's about to get drafted in Austin.
Yeah, exactly. But to Craven's point, if you are a Texas fan, hey, it's cool seeing Isaiah Bond actually look still pretty good. It's cool to see him catching passes from Quinn Ewers, right? It's cool to see Jonte Cook working into that wide receiver three spot, right?
It's like those guys that are fun.
Right.
Right. The Jonte Cooks and, Colin Simmons, some of those linebackers that kind of hung out last year as red shirts that were like really big in the 2023 class.
Yes.
Those guys are, you know, somebody who's been injured, mm-hmm. you know, for a little bit, like, seeing how big Sadir Mitchell was insane.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yesterday and stuff like that. So you kind of see some of those babies that were like put in a microwave for a year that like mm-hmm. you remember being excited about when they signed and then football happened and they weren't playing because they're behind Tavondre Sweat or, you know, Jake Majors or some of the old guys. Right.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That dude is badass. And I forgot, you know, and so that's what's fun about spring.
Exactly. So again, if you're a fan, you're going to be seeing a lot of stuff on social media about, you know, from a lot of people, right? Some of them have to hype. We've been beat writers before. They got to have content. It's well, if you're not in the tournament, in the basketball tournament, you got to find something to do. And so there's going to be a lot of content coming out. But remember, as a fan, you got to compartmentalize what you're seeing because it is practice and it is still months out from when any of this stuff's going to actually matter. So roster construction, player development from people who probably didn't get enough time last year, and maybe where teams need to fill some spots. Those are three probably most important things to take away from spring for the next couple of weeks, because as Carter mentioned, it's going to be a lot of spin zone going on from everybody, coaches on down. So Yeah, we want to keep that in perspective.
But don't be afraid to drink the Kool-Aid.
Sure.
No, like that, that's going what this to time be. Of year, this yes. time of year, everybody should convince themselves that their team is going to win 10 games. Or like, yes. what are we doing? Like, yes. What's the point, right? Like UTSA is about to go like break into this college football playoff next year in my mind, right? Right? Even without,
yeah, what's the point of gotten, being a fan
they've
of that
gotten
point
better without even, Frank yeah. Harris in my mind. I've already talked myself into this thing, you know? And so like, right. it's okay to lean into it. Just know that when you're reading the message board thing, that they're getting that from an assistant coach or a player's mom or somebody sure. who like wants that message to get across, you know?
Right. Retweet every picture of a guy in shirts and shorts and how jacked up he looks.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Cause yeah. he will be that good in the fall.
Yeah. exactly. Yeah. I right. will say this. So teams that do choose to do a spring game, go, here's a very underrated thing. Spring games suck. like I'm spring games are so boring.
They're
so
worst,
I need people to realize if you are choosing to go to a spring game, know what you're getting yourself into. It's going to be hot. You're not going to know what's going on or how the points are calculated because nobody keeps it consistent. And you're going to see a lot of standing around. And that's just, hey, stick around. If you have a kid, bring them afterward. They do some autograph signings usually, mm-hmm. but just know what you're getting into. You see all these scenes of like, oh, Kyle Field has 50,000 at their screen. It's like, they're all bored. They're all yeah. bored watching that.
Man, in so high bad. School, we were always forced to cheer for the spring game. And it was just the most yeah, dreaded thing of all. Cause it's just okay, not, it was terrible.
Again,
I hated it.
yeah. I was again, go support, like Craven said, go have fun, support your players, support your team, but know what you're getting into with the spring game, mm-hmm. especially because I suggest bringing your kids to get autographs after the game, because that is the most fun you will have at a spring game. Probably.
Here's what the spring game is for. It's for setting up and preparing for your pregame routine for the fall, making sure you're greasing the wheels again. You're sure. tailgating properly.
Sure.
Because every time at Texas, what the heck happened?
Carter just activated some of the Zoom effects there.
It's really for recruiting.
Yeah, I was about to say, you will see there will be more people with name tags and lanyards than actually playing.
Yeah, spring games really to host the recruits and give them an idea of what game day feels like, what the uniforms look like. And as a coach, you don't have to spend as much time on the game, obviously, so you can hang out with the recruits in a way that you can't during week four.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's that as well.
One of my favorite spring game moments was with Everwithers' first spring game, which he hyped up as like a party, which again, it's not. It's like 95 degrees in the heat. It's not fun. But then later on that day, he ended up taking a scholarship away from a kid he signed in like January. And so like at the spring game.
It's really a party.
Yeah, it was great. That was the only news. He generated his own news by just like ripping. It was like a kid from Hayes too, like right up the road. So like he just like just spat in the face.
How to win him over.
Yeah, exactly. So he made the front page of the Statesman that way. So
that's right.
All press is good press.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So the second discussion point is a little bit more, I don't know, serious. I don't know how to call it. College football playoff, of course. I guess this is also timely because ESPN just re-upped their college football playoff deal, I believe, through 2031, I believe. Mm-hmm.
March crazy. Madness is up that same amount of time. So if there is going to be a split, it's going to happen in 2031.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good point. So, yeah, $7.8 billion deal.
I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Which is, seriously. yeah, that was with a B. So, it, of course, gives them the network exclusivity through the playoff. All right. It's not official yet, but it seems to be the tea leaves are all reading the same direction that, again, even before we even do our first year of this 12-year playoff, that particularly headlined by the SEC and the Big Ten, they want to expand to 14. So,
and because the SEC and Big Ten want to expand to 14, it will be 14. So no one hold out hope it will stay at 12.
Well, not only that, it's not just that they want to expand to 14. It's that they also want some more guarantees that they get spots included. They automatically get bids, basically, is what they're trying to do. So
I think that they're going to give up that demand for more percentage points.
That's the thing I think it's also going to happen.
They brought that to the table like, hey, we're going to take three automatic qualifiers each and hoping that the schools don't want that, but will go. But yes, you can have 27% each of the revenue.
Right. And it's just very funny to me that I should preface this by saying, I don't hate the idea of a playoff. I hate the idea of a playoff that's exclusively controlled by a network that has ratings to consider and that has other things besides football, right? I like the idea. Like, this past year's playoff was the best advertisement they have had for the playoff. It was competitive on both sides. You know, both semifinals were competitive. And then to a certain extent, the final game was whatever, but it was competitive-ish. Typically, we have blowouts in one or two or all three of the games. This past year was the first probably like fully competitive playoff. That was, if I was a full 100% playoff advocate, that's what I want, right? That is like, that's the advertisement you display, say, this is why we want a playoff. My thing is, I've never been, the reason why I've been anti-playoff isn't the fact that I don't like the best teams playing against each other. I thought it condensed the season and spotlighted one particular game in a way that college football has never been about spotlighting one particular game, right? And you can call it diminishing the regular season. You can call it reducing conferences, whatever. It's always been a regional sport, right? My love of Texas growing up and Notre Dame growing up never came from the fact that they were always in the national title, right? No, like my first Seminole Texas memory was Roy Williams destroying Chris Sims in the red zone and Bob Stoops owning Mack Brown until 05. So again, my love of the sport came from just loving the sport. It's a regional communal sport. With that being said, that's why I've been anti-playoff, because it feels like that rooted spirit has been gone. And it's funny to see the people who have been beating down the door of the playoff now be like, well, wait, what's happening? Oh, what's going on? We're expanding too much. And it's like, yeah, that was always the plan, man. That was always going to be the plan.
That's the part that I don't like. It's the disingenuous nature of it. Just tell me that you're creating super conferences to then need more spots in a playoff, right? Like, you can't, this is the part that bugs me about this, is that the SEC and the Big Ten bloated themselves on purpose for more money, and then look around and go like, well, we don't have enough spots in the dance anymore. And it's right. Like, well, you did that to yourself. Right. Like, you didn't need to do it. And then you have Texas fans arguing that they have to go to the SEC to be in those important games the year that they go to the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Washington saying that they have to go to the Big Ten to get in those kind of games the year that they go into the playoff. Like, it doesn't need to happen. Like, none of it needed to happen. It was very competitive. Two semifinals. We got the number one team versus the number two team, both undefeated teams in the championship. Like, Texas State's not winning the national title. UTSA's right. Not winning the national title. None of this was ever created to help the little guy get a seat at the table. It was just the way to pacify the masses enough to do what they want to do. What does that sound like? Right? Like, we can go through history and find like every single example of that happened. So that's the part that's always bugged me. If they would just out loud go, we're trying to make as much money as we can. This is an entertainment product. We are a TV network sport nowadays, and we're going to bloat this thing until we can no longer squeeze it dry anymore. Yeah. I would at least go, yeah, like totally. Like, that's the American sports I know, right? That's why there's a play-in game in the NBA. It's why the baseball playoff is expanded. It's why the NFL playoff has expanded over the last 5 years. Like, you don't have to lie to us at the same time. And what irks me is when everybody who's been on social media talking about like why they want the playoff to have the small guy in it, all of a sudden they realize that it was never for that ever at all.
No.
And they're shocked by it. And I am so shocked by how shocked people are.
Right.
I just implore you to go like look at business and stop pretending like college football isn't going to operate the same as Amazon or any other money hungry. This is about money. It is not about fairness. It is not about equity or equality. It is about equity, right? Not equality. Yeah. And so the haves and the have nots are going to get further and further away, as they always have. And we're heading towards a fork in the road where the SEC and the Big Ten are going to split away from everybody else. And no one can blame them, because they just did what we allowed them to do by handing over the reins of the sport because we wanted a unified national champion so bad.
Yeah, I completely agree. And my thing is, the rich will when there is no governing body, and when there is a governing body, but that's a different podcast, the rich will demolish the poor. And because there is no NCAA oversight in any of this, and the NCAA plugged their ears and said, la, 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 like, We're going to stick our head in the mud and do exactly what we've been doing. They've now switched to 12 teams. The SEC and Big Ten have now bloated themselves as super conferences and are now, Greg Sankey and the Big Ten commissioner are pushing themselves to have the max amount of spots mm-hmm. available. And I was originally for the 12-team playoff, not because I thought it was going to be a bunch of group of five teams, but because I thought it was going to make it to where more P5 teams in the conferences got in. It would even out recruiting. But I got totally duped by Greg Sankey and his 7D chess and left hand up. I didn't see that coming at all. Greg Sankey, checkmate, brother. You got me.
I mean, I'll go a step further. I don't think the playoff is expanding because the conferences got bloated. I think they bloated the conferences to expand the playoff. Yeah. Right. The SEC looked at the Big 12 and said, we're going to take the two teams that are year in, year out in contention for that thing. And the Big 10 said, we're going to go to the Pac-12 and we're going to take the teams that are year in, year out contention for that stuff. And eventually Clemson will be in one, Florida State will be in the other or whatever. They'll go as a pair and they won't need these other conferences. And that was the point all along. Like that was always the point, was to concentrate the talent, concentrate the helmets so much into two conferences that you can look at the rest of the nation and go like, we don't need you anymore. Like we're going to go do our own thing. And nobody's going to want that, right? Yeah. Except for the people cashing the checks. But we allowed them so much power that, like Carter says, it corrupt. Like that's why we have taxes. Like if everybody would just like give to charities and do right with their money, like we wouldn't need taxes, but that failed a long time ago. And so like you have to put checks and balances in for humans to help each other out. That's what we don't have in college football because they're getting sued to oblivion because they did illegal things for 40 years to their labor force.
Yeah. I think Greg Sankey, very coincidentally, Greg Sankey had a quote in a piece from Pete Thamel on the NCAA football basketball tournament that kind of summarizes his mentality on this. So he mentioned about the overall piece is about just like, what will the future of the tournament look like? All that stuff. So he talked to Greg Sankey and in the piece, he had this quote. He added, this is from the piece directly. He added that recent runs by UCLA from the first four to the final four in 2021 and Syracuse's run to the round of 16, beginning with the play-in game in Dayton in 2018, show the caliber of power conference teams on the fringe of the NCAA tournament. Quote, that just tells you that the bandwidth inside the top 50 is highly competitive, Sankey said. We are giving away highly competitive opportunities for automatic qualifiers from smaller leagues, and I think that pressure is going to rise as we have more competitive basketball leagues at the top end because of expansion. It's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Let me hoard all these teams, and therefore, Penn State's the sixth best team in the Big Ten. We can't leave Penn State out because the Big Ten's just so good. Let me kick out UTSA. Let me kick out James Madison, right? Because we got it. If Penn State was in the Sun Belt, Penn State would be undefeated, right? That's the logic. And ironically, what it's creating is, I think it was Kara Ritchie, who does radio in Arkansas. She has the quote that's going to always resonate with me. It's not creating the separation between the haves and the have-nots. That's always been there in college football or college sports. That's going to remain. It's the haves and have-mores, right? We're watching right now we just watch A&M poach Nebraska's athletic director. Nebraska just poached Washington's athletic director, right? In their own conference. And so again, Washington, by the way, poached Arizona's head coach, right? In the same, Big 12, Big 10, but you get the point.
Texas's AD was at TCU before he was.
Exactly. Yes. Chris Del Conte was at TCU before we went to Texas. We're starting to separate all those teams you would classify as haves in the grand scheme of things, but you're starting to see who has more. You're starting to see Chip Kelly say, I don't want to be a head coach in the Big Ten anymore. I'm going to go be an offensive coordinator at a bigger school in the Big Ten. Right. And again, that just creates, like Craven said, by 2031, we're just going to have the equivalent of the Super League. We're just going to have these 12 to 20 teams say, you know what? We're done. You know, the Oregon States and the Washington States, that's the precursor, right? Mm-hmm. They're eventually going to look at the Stanfords, they're going to look at a lot of teams and say, those guys don't generate money. They're not the big dogs. And the 14-team playoff, which, by the way, which would, I believe, would guarantee three spots to the SEC and the Big Ten each, so six spots total to two conferences, two to the ACC. By the way, those two are probably looking to go to the SEC with Florida State and Clemson, right? So they're trying to get out of there. So what happens when those two teams leave? They probably get maybe one, probably one spot at that point. And then the Big 12, which, of course, again, we love as just a football conference. I think it's entertaining, but that just shows you where they think that is. They're a step below. And then one for the group of five. That's where we're at now, right? That's where we're at now. They're treating it like the New Year's Six, right? It's like, oh, welcome Tulane. You're in the tournament, I guess.
I think it's going to end up being a 5-9 format. Like, sure. I think when all the squabbling and arguing is going to go, I think it's going to be five automatic qualifiers, four power four champions, and then the one G5, then it's going to be nine at large. But those nine at large are going to be three SEC teams, four Big Ten teams, one extra ACC team, and like maybe a secondary Big 12 team or something like that. And so to your point, that's why I always thought this was silly when you would hear it from G5 fans.
Yeah.
Because Iowa State can't keep
up with Texas. You're not in the Big
Ten. Well, Iowa State can't even keep up with Texas.
Right.
Right. Like Kansas State can't keep up with Texas. Like how is UTSA going to do it just because you're allowed in there every now and then? Like it just can't happen. And so I think we want to make football into college basketball or college baseball where we feel like everyone has a chance, and they just don't. And so if this money gets so out of whack, what choices do they have other than to split this thing off and to make it a, you know, super league type deal? And then NCAA becomes like the other schools. And I'm not just talking about UTSA and North Texas and UTEP getting left behind. I'm talking about Tech and Baylor and Houston and SMU. And that's, if you want to know why SMU gave up $100 million to go join the ACC, this is why, right? To like not get left behind. Like
they need a seat at the table,
right? Like, hey, we may lose $100 million, but like we'll make it up on the back end because we don't want to be in Division II. And that's where they think this thing is going. It's why Texas and Oklahoma jumped on board, right? Like they don't want to be on the sinking ship. I think everybody looks at Washington State and thinks like, oh, that can't be us, right? Well, it's going to be, like, unless you're one of the 50, one of the 64 or whatever it is that's going to end up being in the Power Four conferences, it is coming for you. And it may come for those other two conferences that aren't really in the Power Two.
And I think
it's going to be like G5 and the Big 12 and ACC will be the old guard of college football, and the new Power Two conference will be Diet NFL.
Yeah,
more or less.
I think they're going to license stuff from the universities and not even need to be on campus, right? Like it's going to be the Austin Football Club basically, and they're going to like rent. You know, they're going to pay Texas to use the emblems and the uniforms and the stadium, but half of those players aren't even going to be students or anything like that. They're going to be semi-professional football players.
Yeah, exactly. So again, we're starting to see the wheels in motion about where college sports is going. And again, I say college sports because yes, it's college football, but this thing has the trickle down. We know what the driving force is, right? The driving force is the money in football, but this will have a trickle down, right? Yeah, that's going to affect basketball. That's going to affect lacrosse in some places, right? That's going to affect all these sports, these non-revenue sports that are just going to be unfortunate, you know, unfortunately caught in the crossfire. The last thing I will say is I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, the FCS does a playoff, right? One, do you think the FCS, I believe UIW got left out of the playoff this year, right? So it's not exactly like an incredible formula that always works, right? But also, FCS is not driven by revenue. It's just not, right? They're not, these network deals are not calling the Big Sky and directing, you know, and there's not this massive realignment. You're seeing teams like Sam Houston leave the FCS, right? Because they want to go to the FBS because that's where their money is. Right. That's what they think the money is, at least. Of course, if you're in the Big Sky, if you're in all these other conferences, you're able to kind of keep solid and luckily maintain some. I respect those teams that say, no, we're good. Right. The Montanas, the Dakotas. I respect those programs, Idaho, because they're like, no, we're good. This is not about generating millions and millions of dollars. We're just good at this sport. It's not worth it to move up our facilities and all these different things to be a bottom feeder. But that's why you can't translate that directly, right? You're not comparing the same thing. Just because the FCS can do it, Division II can do it, does not mean that the FBS, which again, the fact that we have two divisions in Division I should say something, right? Bowl games, revenue, external third-party revenue is part of what makes the division in Division I happen in the first place.
This might be opening another can of worms, but when you talk about the revenue, it is funny how they've created these two super leagues basically to get all of this television revenue, but yet all of the administrators and coaches then go on press conferences and say, in order to compete in this, we need you, the fans, to help us pay for the new transfer quarterback.
Listen.
Yeah, well, because they've offshot the rights of production to the fans again, right? Like, mm-hmm. like they're not even allowed to pay. Like, that $7.2 billion or whatever, none of it can go to the students. The yeah. same people that got to buy tickets have to also pay the players. And so it's an unsustainable product that has happened because they committed labor law violation after labor law violation for 30 or 40 years to the point they backed themselves into a corner where nothing that they can do can hold up in court. Like yeah. they can do nothing that can't be taken to court and then sued. And they only have themselves to blame. Right? I mean, really? Like they did this to yeah. themselves. And as a viewing public, I think a lot of us enjoy watching the crumble because the NCAA is so corrupt and they've been so crappy at their jobs for so long that you're like rooting for their demise. But you look at the collateral damage of what it's going to cause. And a thing that we all really, really like is going to get bastardized into a thing that we don't want, that no, I don't hear anybody really want, but that's the way it's going to go because there is nothing legal that they can do anymore to stop it. Like there, yeah. there's just, I talk to all these coaches and they have these plans that sound great, but they would not hold up in court. Like you just can't, you cannot restrict the ability to make money anymore unless you make them employees, because everything you're trying to tell them to do or not to do can only be done if they're your employee under contract, but they right. don't want to give these guys contracts because they don't want to lose money. And here's the thing that kills me. Is when they get up on the soapbox and act like they're going to have to cut women's basketball right. or softball or something else to make money for this shit. Right. You had 40 years of yeah. using all of the money on yourselves, making yourself rich, making the coaches rich. God forbid Steve Sarkisian has to give back 33% of that money. He should have never been making $10 million as a state public institution coach anyway. Like it's yeah. not... I mean, anybody who studies history after Reconstruction, right? Like this happened in the South with farmland. It's like, well, how are we going to afford our family farm if we have to pay our labor? That's yeah. not up to us.
right.
That's not like that. That's not our problem. Like you right. created this problem by not paying somebody. And now you're worried about where that 40% is going to come from. It's going to come from you. Like that's where it's going to come from. I just find it so nauseating. Like, it's just so frustrating when they get up there and they talk about this stuff because it makes no sense under a light and nobody tends to shine it on them when they're talking about this stuff.
And then they bring a Radford women's volleyball player to Congress and say, look at her, look yeah. what's going to happen to her.
Right. And like the best part about this is like, this country will shut down the government for disagreements. This country will do everything. The second the NCAA gets up against Congress, that can't agree to do anything, they're like, oh yeah, no, you guys are wrong. Like it's like, oh no, wait, we're all in unison. Yeah, this is actually really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. How did nobody look at this before? Yeah. Like, what is
right. yeah. It's like, anyway, can't agree on healthcare, can't agree on government spending, but that thing's messed up. Whatever you guys got going there, we can all hold hands and say, actually, yeah, this institution probably is not doing things the right way. Which
we don't like TikTok and the NCAA is corrupt. Those are the only two things the government can agree on at this moment in time.
Exactly. So
and their own
races. No one wants a 14-team playoff.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's unfortunately, yeah. Which again, so to wrap this up with a little bit more of an optimistic bow, or at least an eye towards optimism.
Yeah, y'all gonna take my mic from me.
So here's the thing. That's why I wrote a piece early in the year after attending Texas State and UTSA, right? Saying this is what college football should be about, right? As a fan, you cannot control. I think Split Zone 2 has done a good job of saying this. We're not built like the Europeans, which if they hear Super League, they're rioting and tearing down stadiums, right?
That's right.
We're not built like that.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
We're not built like that, right?
They stopped that in its tracks.
The rumor came out, like tweets came out that, hey, Arsenal, Real Madrid, and Bayern are thinking of the Super League, and there were protests. Like yeah. during COVID, there were protests in front of the stadiums, flares, people were not going to matches. Like, again, we're not built like that. right?
Did they? I'm sure they talk about this because they're incredibly smart guys.
Yeah.
What strikes me, the difference is that we're so individualists over here that we don't care about our rivals, right? Like even the Liverpool fans were like, no, we play against West Ham and we play against like Bournemouth and stuff like that. Here, we're like, screw you, Baylor. We're off to the SEC. Yes, nobody gives a crap about you.
They talked about how there is a communal aspect to soccer over there, right? It is a community sport still. That's being overtaken by oligarchs in some situations, but in some way, the foundations of them are communal, right? And when somebody's disrupting that, that becomes a problem. And so, like you mentioned, there is a communal hatred to, oh no, those guys that we hate, that we're going to hate next week, we actually want to keep playing them despite us hating them next week, right?
You're right.
And so we're not built like that here, right? We're not. Right, we're writing columns about, you know, Texas is writing columns about so long, Tech, we don't need y'all, you know, like, rest in piss, you know.
In America, leaving your rival is a status boost.
Yeah, no, it's little brother. We're above them, right? They're little brother. They are going broke. They're relying on us. We're better than them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, when we have that mentality, the Super League can kind of just slowly happen as we all see it. So, with that being said, I wrote about the Texas State and UTSA piece saying this is what college football should be about, right? These two factions of fans that can come together to hate each other for a while, but also acknowledge that, damn, this was awesome. Like, this kind of environment was really cool. If you're a fan of the Power Five, go for it, right? If you're a Texas fan, love this time. This is going to be awesome. You're playing Texas A&M again, right? Yes, what in the next 10 years, the sport's going to look very different. Embrace it for what it is right now. Do not bog yourself down with, don't overconsume, right? It's going to happen, right? Don't overconsume the idea of, oh, the playoff and then what's happening in Congress, the Dartmouth players getting able to unionize, don't overconsume because it's going to happen. Enjoy the sport for what it is right now, genuinely. Mm-hmm. And if you are a fan of the Power Five, watch some Group of Five because you want to see fan bases that are going to love what they're doing right now. And they're going to love and embrace what the sport is for what it is and not the national championship or whatever. That's where you're going to see it. You're going to see it at the FCS level. You're going to see it at the Group of Five level where winning a conference championship is going to make UTSA fill up the Alamo Dome, right? Where competing for the Sun Belt is going to put 30,000 in Bobcat Stadium, things like that. So again, if you only consume college football for the best of the best, sure, fine. You're probably loving it. That's awesome. But if you want more to enjoy, maybe look beyond the horizons of where you've consumed football for the past, you know, however many years you've been.
But then that's not what I get. Because if you consume football for the best of the best, why would you just watch the NFL? That's the professionals.
Sure.
The college football is for the regional rivalry and stuff like that.
Right.
It's why I did that tour that I'm writing a book about. Because I really do think college football is going to be a pre-2024 and a post-2024, or maybe 2023 is where that line of demarcation is, where before the super conferences, when it still was a little bit regional, only the 4-team playoff, before it really is just a nationalized sport like the NFL is. And so what shocked me, though, was the apathy from losing a lot of that stuff to not having Texas versus TCU anymore, not having Texas versus Baylor anymore, not, you know, the Houston Texas thing not happening, you know, even like A&M Baylor, the battle of the Brazos.
I will say, Craven, as a soccer fan, could you imagine if Liverpool or Arsenal fans were chanting EPL, EPL, yeah. EP, right. Like chanting your conference name is like the biggest summary of like the difference, right? Nobody in Spain is chanting La Liga, No, what is going on?
It's because in European soccer, they have the idea towards their rivals. It's like Heath Ledger's Joker to Batman. Like,
right, it's like, we need each other.
We need each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's still that pride of like, let's beat all of these guys and then we'll like go do the big tournament, right? Sure. Like, I think that's why everybody was okay with like the 4-team playoff and even like to the 12-team extent, right? If you keep all the conferences the same,
right?
And all of a sudden, the 12-team playoff makes some sense, right? Like everybody gets representation, all the Power Five conferences, the best G5 team. There's even a space there for a secondary G5 team if it gets really good. Like it, I wasn't a fan of it because I don't think we need it. Like I don't think there's more than 6 teams that can win a championship, you know, by the end of November any given year. But I mean, you could see it on paper why it would make sense, right? But now, like they've pulled that wool back and we're like, you know, like, gotcha, you know, like this was just been about money and access the whole entire time. And to ruin a thing before you even start it is as NCAA as NCAA can get. Like it's just egg on the face all the time.
That was the point I was trying to make earlier, and I kind of like lost train of thought. I thought the 12 team was going to be good because there's going to be more P4 teams, and then make it to where not only six teams are capable of getting into the 14 playoff.
Sure.
But what I didn't know is Greg Sankey had the plan all along.
Yeah.
And I do think we think playoff means parity, but if you look at the Division II level, if you look at the Division III level, like it's not. What makes parity is like budgets.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's why the NFL has parity, is because they're you know, Dallas isn't allowed to spend more than Arizona or whatever. But in college, there's never going to be a signing cap or whatever, that's a salary cap.
Yeah.
Because it's donor driven. Right. And like places like Alabama are always going to have more than Vanderbilt, even if they're in the same conference. What chance does the G5 have if the guys in the SEC can't even keep up? Right. Like if Kentucky can't do it, why would anybody in the MAC have any illusion to being able to do it? That was always the part that I never quite understood. And I think now we're realizing it, that like everybody making the decisions in the room never thought it was true either.
Sure.
We'll have to tell Mallory after she left the podcast, we went on a Marxist rant about the NCAA.
Look, I'm telling you, if you want, again, you want to unite the country, just put the NCAA across the table. And all of a sudden everybody's like, all your philosophies are correct. And you're my brother, because those guys are incorrect and wrong and they suck. So yeah. Alrighty. So yeah, that was a little bit of a discussion. We'll kind of feel around for those kind of topics as the off season and spring goes along, because, hey, look, we're about to get in the middle of magazine season. We'll probably talk about like what we find out about on some of our visits to some stops, things like that, things that won't make it into the magazine. But for that being said, thank you guys for joining, for listening, whether on Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening, please rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Follow us on Twitter at DCTFCFB. Of course, and at DCTF, our main account. Remember, 15% off your first time purchase at Home Field Apparel, promo code DCTF. We'll be back next week. Still trying to figure out if we're doing live or not. Probably do. We might do a live. I don't know. But regardless, thanks for listening anyway. And remember to listen to all the other shows on the Republic of Football Network as well. Good things happening, good changes happening to the company. So stay tuned, subscribe at texasfootball.com, and we will talk to you guys next week.